The overnap fingers and wine. That's what you did.
Is that what I did?
You overnapped. You came back from Vegas and you said, I'm tired. I'm going to get back on schedule. But instead of having like an hour nap, 2 hour nap, or like me, a 2 hour and 40 minute nap. No, no, no. You did a 7 hour nap.
This sounds like a Seinfeld bit.
You overnapped.
A little bit of a close talker.
Nobody buttons the top button.
Not in these shoes.
See, drink, smoke. I'm Tony. That hit me late. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. We did just get back from Vegas, the big cigar trade show. We've got all the latest news, including we're right about 2024, Fingers. Sadly, we're right. Things are flat, and we'll be lucky in the industry if it all just stays flat. But what did not stay flat was our wallets. They got thinner. Maybe not from the actual video poker, but from the $7 cups of coffee at the hotel.
It's insane how much prices have gone up on the Strip, and they were ridiculously expensive before.
That's why we have gone budget conscious today, and we're going with the Brickhouse Maduro from J.C. Newman. You gotta love the cigar. Works in all weather, and the price cannot be beat. We're doing the Toro, which is the 6 1/4 by 52, which means it is 6 1/4 inches long.
Tee-hee.
Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a, see, hold on. This is a 52. Right. It's a 52. So it's 6 inches long.
Tee.
Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a 52. That's the diameter of the cigar, or really how thick it is around.
Tee-hee.
Again, with the laughter from Fingers Malloy. The Mighty Mighty is the 6 1/4 by 60. The Toro is a 6 by 52. That's what we're smoking. And we did happen to run into Drew Newman of J.C. Newman, the fourth generation in the family making cigars there at El Rollo, the factory in Ybor City. Great, great talk. We'll bring it to you. Vegas will suck the money right out of your soul. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, you are going to spend. And when I say I spend $7 on coffee, look, if you ask me if I'm a coffee snob, I will tell you no. It's just I know the difference between good and horse crap. $7 from the little food court area, and I do 3 a day on these kinds of trips.
Yeah.
That from now on, I bring a Keurig, and I make it in my room. This is insane.
Yeah. I was in the same boat, but I, for some reason, I've gotten hooked on the caramel macchiatos, because, you know, not worried about calories at all.
Why would you be?
So, yeah, in the morning, a caramel macchiato with a Colorado, Connecticut. I'm still not recovered.
That's the point. This is where we started. You overnapped when we got back on Monday, and you're still exhausted?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still going to bed crazy late because you think you're on Vegas time.
There's the times, the change. And then on top of it, we took the red eye back home. So I slept the full day we got back completely away.
And on top of that, the guy sitting in front of Fingers Malloy quite literally fell out of his chair and had a medical episode
and woke me up.
He had a medical episode.
I was in a deep slumber.
The medics had to come onto the plane to help him off the plane.
I had to actually wipe the sleep out of my eyes. Who was the real victim there?
By the way, the guy was fine, but yeah. it was super weird. It's always weird when a guy literally like passes out on a plane.
And we could get into this cigar, but can we talk a minute about how the guy in front of us falls over, gets back up. They kind of pour him back into the seat, and nobody cares that he's there. Not even his buddy next to him. But Tony Katz stands up, walks to him, and says, sir, are you okay? And he didn't respond.
No, that guy was not okay for a while.
Yeah.
That guy, a blood sugar thing, whatever it was, that dude was out for a while.
But if you had not leapt to action, no medical personnel would have looked at him when he got off the plane. It was you, my friend. You may have saved a life that day.
I don't know if I did that, but it is true. I'm the only person who stood up and checked on the guy. And then the flight attendants were like, maybe we should ask if anybody has any medical training on the plane. That's a true story.
And it was like straight out of a movie at that point.
The rapper on this Brickhouse Maduro Toro, the Brazilian Arapiraca, A-R-A-P-I-R-A-C-A. Call it a Brazilian rapper, Nicaraguan, in the binder and the filler. The whole Brickhouse story from J.C. Newman is how the family got started in the cigar business. And it got started in a brick house. That's how it began. So the homage here from the name, when you're at El Rollo, the factory, the imagery and everything else, it is quite incredible. They take the cigar very, very seriously. And as we've just started smoking this, really into the first third, fingers Malloy, what do you think?
You got a little bit of cocoa. There's some pepper and some wood. We've done a brick house in the past. What you can expect is really good quality. The construction is always on point, and it really hits your wallet in the right way.
So the brick house is not afraid, right? It's absolutely a full bodied cigar. Always has been. That is not something that's going to change. There is an absolute immediate spice that is on this cigar, but it's interestingly mixed beautifully with a wood and a sweetness that one might call cocoa. You might have another kind of feel for it, but you can't ignore the wood presence and that spice that's in there. In normal situations, I would argue I'd like a little bit less of this. I'd like a little bit more of that. In the I'm keeping it under $10 situation, damn, they're giving me a lot for my money.
It just feels like, to me, it's at that price point, almost a perfect blend of those three notes, right? It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it just works.
So let's talk about what that price point is. First of all, get your notebook out. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? What's the weather? We're starting to get a little springtime in Indianapolis, Indiana, as we record at Blend Bar Cigar, blendbarcigar.com, the Woodlands, Indianapolis, and in Pittsburgh. Check them out if you're in those areas. You break the cigar up into thirds in your head, and you write down your notes. Like, what is the flavors that you get from each third of the cigar? When you go back to that cigar a month from now or 6 months from now, whatever it is, you do it again and you compare the notes. Get the through line. Get an idea of where you're really feeling the cigar. That's the flavor profile. Fingers, this cigar at an MSRP, give or take, of $7.50. Guys, if you want to know what the golf course cigar is, this is it. If you want to know what the working around the yard cigar is, this is it. If you want to know what the garage cigar is, this is it. If you want to know the cigar you can pass around at the wedding, this is it. There's never, ever a moment. I put this in the same category as the Oliva V. There's never a moment where it doesn't work. And this is at a better price point.
Yeah, this is one of the sticks that I would definitely purchase a box of. And I'm not really a box guy, but I would buy a box of these.
Every time, no question about it, from Brickhouse, the Maduro, we're doing the Toro 6x52 from the good people at J.C. Newman. We'll hear from Drew Newman coming up. Eat, drink, smoke, it is your cigar, bourbon, foodie, extravaganza. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Our book, Let's Go Barbecue. Get ready for Father's Day. The book is there waiting for you. Let's Go BBQ, recipes, tips, and tales from the pit. Available at Amazon.com. And allow me, as we were talking about the restaurant there in Vegas, I just want to make sure I'm clear about something. The bacon-wrapped dates were done in a gorgonzola crema. And the crostini was burrata. I happened to say mascarpone like 9 times in a row, and I'm sorry about that.
Wait a minute. You said burrata, but it was mascarpone?
No, I said mascarpone.
Mascarpone.
It was actually burrata.
Any relation to Al?
No.
Oh.
Delicious. Giada at the Crama. Wanted to make sure I got that right. Smoking from Brickhouse, the Maduro, the Toro, the 6x52 at $7.50 a stick, where you can find it in a few places. Your place may be a little bit different. It is the all-weather cigar. That spice has built nicely. That wood, for me, is there. I'm not right now picking up a tremendous amount of sweetness, but I'm at this price, at this price, fingers, Malloy, daddy happy.
Yeah, the spice is there. The wood is there. When I first lit the cigar, I was getting that cocoa that I was expecting to get, but I'm pairing it with a Diet Coke, and I feel like the Diet Coke is actually overpowering that sweetness a little bit. But the spice and the wood are there.
And that's how much Vegas costs, people, that we're doing our budget-conscious cigar and a Diet Coke. Don't worry, we'll get to drinks. We'll get to drinks. And then Fingers will tell you a story that maybe it wasn't all budget-conscious.
Can we do it now?
No.
Oh, you're really pulling. All right, the radio
fine,
tease.
Fine, do it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are sitting there the first night at Harrah's on the Strip in Las Vegas.
How are they not a sponsor of ours?
Pete's the heck out of me. We sure talked about them a lot. Too. Now, last year, we were at this little area where you could smoke cigars. It's called the Lounge, and they have video poker. Last year, I got 4 aces and a 4. For $1,000. I was happy. Tony was happy for me. Kind of. Really, Vegas in general was happy for old Fingers Tiberius Malloy. Fast forward 8 months. We're back. We're going to go to the PCA, but it's Thursday night. Tony calls it the Night
PCA
of Fingers.
PCA is a trade show. Premium Cigar Association trade show.
I apologize. Tony calls it the Night of Fingers because we have nothing to do Friday. He's like, Fingers, pick whatever you want to do. So we went and we got a steak, and then we went and we smoked cigars and played video poker.
Didn't just get a steak. What do we do, Fingers? What do we do? Tell them the kind of man you are. Go on.
It was your idea.
Yeah, but it's still your fault.
We split a ribeye. To be fair, we had eaten a very big meal at the airport before we hopped on a plane. We got off the plane, and at Gordon Ramsay's, a 22-ounce ribeye was staring at us from the menu, and we both looked at each other because that sounds really good, but 22 ounces. And then Tony's ordering salads, and he's ordering
paired it with the tuna tartare.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's super unique at Ramsay's place which he calls Ramsay's Kitchen, which is the one in Harrah's, and then the one down the road at the Strip is Hell's Kitchen. But I'm sorry, Fingers, back to you.
So anyway, after that delightful meal was finished, we decided to go into the lounge and smoke some cigars, have an adult beverage, and play video poker. We are not into but an hour of video poker where I'm looking at my machine, and all of a sudden, Tony leaps out of his seat. I'm not exaggerating. Put both fists up in the air, runs out of the room yelling, "I did it! I did it!"
Now, was I screaming at the top of my lungs?
I wouldn't say screaming, more of a yell.
Was I basically emphatic in my dominance?
Pretty much you marked your territory with your yell.
And why did I do this?
I looked down at his machine, and our friend Tony Katz, playing quarter video poker, hit a royal flush for $1,000.
It happens. It happens.
And what's extraordinary about this is the man barely plays any video poker ever.
Fingers, when you understand machinery like I do. Yeah. I had actually won $200 before that.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, all right, I'm done. I literally could have gone to bed at that moment. But Fingers, being the bad influence that he is, we then moved to some other machines because his machine, a little cold, a little chilly, a little burr, very Alaska. So we moved. And so that's when I hit it. And I yelled, "Hachi mama."
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, because I was the little devil on his shoulder talking him out of not going to bed, you think he would have said, "You know what? Thank you. Thank you for being a terrible influence on me and having me sit down and play more video poker." But no, I got mocked. I got mocked because I kept losing and losing and losing. It was ugly.
Until, was it the final night we were there?
Yes.
Yes, it was the final night that we were there. Fingers Malloy has put in a fair amount of dollars into the machine. I will not say how much he put into the machine because it isn't for me to divulge to anybody who may be related to him who's listening. And Fingers is down to his last $3.75 in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And Fingers gets a three, an ace, a six, and a three. Now, Fingers has three of a kind with an ace. if you get four threes and an ace, four twos, four threes, or four fours with an ace, you win $1,000, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, $500. You win $500, ladies and gentlemen. 500 smackaroos. And Fingers looks at me and goes, should I do it? Meaning throw away the six and try and get the 4-3 in order to get four threes and an ace and make back in one shot all his lost glory.
To be fair, I was going to throw away the six no matter what. It was whether or not to keep the ace or to throw the ace away to give you a better chance of getting that 4-3. So that's what I was doing.
Is that what you were doing?
Yes, that's what I was doing.
I wasn't paying that much attention. All I was saying, as if I was Ben Stiller, do it. Do it. Do it.
And
I want to see him lose. Do it.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible friend. Do it. Do it. What are you? What are you? What are you, a wimp? What are you, not a man? What are you, a wimp? What are you, a wimp?
And what did I do?
Do it.
What did I do?
Fingers Malloy throws away the six and keeps the ace. And he hits the little button. And I jump out of my chair and say, he did it. He did it. The guy got the three. $3.75 in the machine, a $1.25 bet, and Fingers Malloy is walking away top of the world, man.
And then I lost it all 3 minutes later.
That's
no, that's not what happened at all. But I didn't even look at the machine. I hit the button. I looked over Tony's shoulder. I'm like, I'm not even going to look at this.
Did I get up again?
I've never seen such hops live outside of an NBA game. Jumped up in the air. I was like, holy crap, is he messing with me? And then I looked, and there it was, four threes and an ace.
Four threes and
so
an ace.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, gives you a little bit of a picture behind the curtain of what goes on at the Premium Cigar Association after hours.
But the story here is, well, wait a second. If you won, what's the issue with the price and the budget and the price conscious cigars? Oh, the $7 coffee.
Up. The expense of the flight, the room, the meals. I was absolutely stunned at how expensive the high-end restaurants. Okay, you know you're going to pay a pretty penny, but the coffees.
And you're paying a pretty penny.
The coffees. Then on top of everywhere you go, they want a tip. Everywhere you go. And is there tip guilt? We talked about it before. When you're handing me a bottle of water and it says, oh, there's a question for you at the bottom, and you're already thinking, I got the answer. You handed me a bottle of water. But yet, the fact that that's even there to me is disturbing. But Vegas is a tip town, so you're throwing tips everywhere.
When are you going back?
3 months.
I'm sorry, what?
3 months.
You're going back in 3 months.
Yeah. Hey, listen, everybody has a hobby. Mine, apparently, I'm a degenerate gambler.
You do it well. So we can say that our trip to Vegas and the Premium Cigar Association trade show was a success. And we have a lot of cigars to talk about. We brought a lot of cigars back. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Some new stuff to share and really a lot learned about where we think the industry is going. And yes, we are basically correct when we talk about where the market is right now and a little bit worried about where the market could be going. But the guys who are making cigars, I mean, some people are in a better position than others. And one of those is J.C. Newman Cigars, family owned, over a century in business. And they are just on a level of, we'll call it cruise control. But even more so, just continuing to innovate and create. Spoke with Drew Newman of J.C. Newman Cigars about what's going on and what's coming for all of us. What we are really trying to do, as I was saying earlier, is you're smoking the American.
And yeah.
Last we spoke, that was one of the cigars we were talking about because it's the story.
It is.
And everywhere we go, we want to talk about storytelling. And it seems that a lot of the content about cigars is always about review and not about the actual story. I mean, you guys are a story in yourselves, and you talk about this. You spoke about it with me when we last talked. Drew Newman, J.C. Newman, cigars. He is the future of cigar making, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
Wait a second. That's how the family describes you. That's how Puentes describe you.
So my father describes me because he's my dad. Like, no, nobody else describes me like that. My mother does too. That's it.
Carlito doesn't describe you that way?
No.
But the storytelling is a huge part of all of this.
Can I go back to something you just said, though? You know, so often, there's amazingly passionate consumers, and I'm so grateful for them. But sometimes people seem to get a little too focused in what is the wrapper, binder, filler, what is the C-type, the grade of the tobacco, all those details. And all that is interesting, it's informative, and we can talk about it. But I think what gets lost in that type of review sort of framework is the story and the underlying sort of, or the overarching question is, do you like the cigar or not? If you like the cigar, that's great. It doesn't really matter, in my view, what's in it. If you don't like the cigar, it also doesn't really matter because you don't like it either. Mm. And sometimes folks can take a hyper-analytical approach to cigars that overlooks the fact that what we're enjoying is a handcrafted cigar. It's a tradition. It's a story. So hearing about your focus on the storytelling, and less so about the analytics and the reviews and the data and the numbers is so right. Like that is the way to go, because it's the story, the tradition, the craft, the history. That's what makes the cigar industry so unique and so interesting.
Now, when you talk about it, right, it's not an unfair advantage. I don't believe in anything like that. You guys just have a century behind you. But even guys who are just getting started have a story about how they decided to get started.
Of course.
All stories have value.
Absolutely. And that's what makes our industry so unique, is that anyone can become a cigar maker. Anyone can start rolling cigars. You don't need $1 million machine. You need two hands and a little bit of tobacco. And so the stories of new cigar makers are fascinating, and I love hearing about them. And I think we as an industry need to keep telling those stories, because that's what makes us different from the people who sell toothpaste and toilet paper and tables.
When you're the fourth generation?
Fourth generation, yes.
Was there ever a moment where you were like, look, I like a good cigar, but I am not interested in this industry at all? Are you here because you caught the bug? Are you here because this was the family expectation, son?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, I will say this. At a very young age, I was told I could do whatever I wanted to do in life. I should follow my own passions and my own interests. I faced zero pressure to join our family business. Mm. But at the same time, we're a family company. And what that means is when we get together for birthday parties, for Thanksgiving dinner on a random Tuesday night, what are we talking about? The conversation always veers towards the business. So for me, my very earliest memories are of running around our iconic El Rollo cigar factory like my toddlers do now. I don't remember a time that cigars weren't part of my life, that our family company and our business and the history wasn't something that I heard. And for years and years and decades, I just listened. And I learned and I took things in. And so our family tradition, our 128 years of history have always been a part of me, and they always will be. And it is an extraordinary privilege to be able to be here and share it and keep that legacy alive.
Is there a cigar that goes back in the family history, right? We talk about, for example, the Brick House, which if you've never had, the Brick House is possibly the best budget-friendly cigar out there.
Thank you.
Period. You can do the Brick House anytime, day or night. You do the Brick House in any environment, it's always going to work. You can do the Mighty Mighty. There's a lot of and every October is Bricktoberfest, which is excellent.
You know the complaint we get about Brick House? The number one complaint we get about Brick House is it's too cheap. So we're here at a trade show where cigar lounges and retailers are buying cigars, and like, we'll pass out Brick House, we'll share it, people know it, but you know, everyone's got to pay their rent and pay their employees. And the only complaint we ever get about Brick House is that it's not expensive enough. And so it's not as profitable on a cigar by cigar basis for certain stores. So that's why they don't carry it. So,
see, is that crazy? We don't feel that way. We know it's priced perfectly. But so it's got the history. And the Brick House was the original Newman factory before Tampa and Ybor City, before El Rollo, which is cluck in Spanish, right? So before all that, is there a cigar from the family history that if you had the ability that isn't yet out in the marketplace where you're like, yeah, that's the puppy I'd like to bring back?
Oh, absolutely. So my great-grandfather wrote an autobiography that chronicled his life, and it tells a story of how did he come to America as a refugee, how did he start our company, and how did he...
And he came from where?
He came from Austria-Hungary in 1888, just like so many other people did. 6 weeks at sea, came in search of the American dream, and he lived the American dream. And in his book, he talks about becoming a cigar maker's apprentice, starting at the bottom, getting coffee from cigar rollers, learning how to roll cigars, and finally opening his own company in 1895. And when he did, he writes that his very first brand was called ABC, an acronym that stood for Akron, Bedford, and Cleveland, a streetcar line that, and he named his very first cigar brand after the streetcar that rode right in front of the family house, ABC. And for my entire life, I've been searching for old cigar labels, cigar bands, cigar boxes from that ABC line. So yes, if I could bring back any cigar, I want to bring back the ABC cigar. I just don't know what it looks like, and I don't know any records other than what my grandfather, great-grandfather wrote about in his book.
If you have any records anywhere, dear Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation sleuths,
yes,
email fingers at eatdrinksmokeshow.com, and we'll get it.
Thank you.
We'll get it to Drew Newman.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Absolutely.
So great seeing you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing these great stories about cigars.
Can I just say also, there is a feel out there that you are officially too nice.
Really?
Like, you might be the nicest person. And so we don't know if this is just natural or if when you go home, you're like, just get me a beer and leave me alone.
Tony,
which one is it?
You do know what we do, right?
Yeah, I do.
No, you do what you do. We sell cigars. We make cigars. Cigars have no practical purpose. They don't. We all need toilet paper, toothpaste, tissues, tables. Those are things we do need every day. No one needs a cigar. Your viewers choose to enjoy cigars for relaxation and celebration. So we make a product that has no practical purpose. We make a product that people use just for enjoyment. How cool is that? And so we're in a business, we're in an industry where the only reason why people want to be here is for fun, for excitement, to be able to celebrate weddings, anniversaries, and birthdays, be able to relax by the campfire while playing golf. How amazing is that? I'm so happy because this is an amazing business full of people that we like, people that we know, multi-generational families, And all because we get to celebrate life with these amazing handcrafted cigars that are made the same way today they made 100 years ago. How could you not be happy? How could you not be grateful to be in this business and part of this great, great community we have?
Nicest guy in cigars.
This is Eat, Drink, Smoke. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com.
When we tell you that there was a lot of money spent in Vegas, we're not joking. We are not joking. It's an expensive town. We were there for the Premium Cigar Association trade show. So we said, we need to do a show where we keep the budget in mind. And I turned to Fingers Malloy and I said, we need to do a show where we keep the budget in mind. And Fingers said, you mean cheap cigars and beer? I said, we never do cheap cigars, Fingers Malloy. To hell with you and your family.
Says that to me all the time.
Yeah, I know. I should really find a rougher way to say that. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. And sometimes you just don't want to spend. Sometimes you just want it to be easy. And after a big vacation, a big trip, easy is not so bad. So we broke out the Brick House Maduro, which you can find for $7.50, that Toro, that 6x52, and we paired it with Black Dog Brewing's Public Enemy Number One. That's a brown ale. Most people know brown ale from the days of Newcastle. You, Fingers Malloy, have had many a Newcastle brown ale.
Yes, I have.
And you thought yourself a bit of a fancy man, did you? Look at me.
I don't believe I thought of myself at the time as a fancy man, but we can roll with that.
So brown ales, we're talking about bready notes, we're talking about caramel and chocolate, nutty, a touch bitter, but a touch delicious. For Fingers and I, we have a simple rule when it comes to reviewing beer here on Eat, Drink, Smoke. And what is that rule, Fingers Malloy?
No IPAs allowed.
No IPAs allowed, because IPAs are what, Fingers Malloy?
You actually describe it better than I. You call it
terrible?
Awful. Oh, I'm thinking of your
disgusting.
I'm wrong. I'm thinking of your Tootsie Roll review.
Oh, Devil Scat.
There it is.
Devil Scat. Yes, yes. IPAs could come close to that. Guys, we understand that they're popular. We understand that they're everywhere. We just have come to the conclusion that all those people are wrong. Wrong and terrible.
But here's the other thing, too. I'm not going to tell you every.
They're the kind of people who think that Godfather 3 was the best of the trilogy.
There were three Godfathers?
You are the worst kind of person.
As I was saying, it's not necessarily that all IPAs are terrible. But if you are not a fan of IPAs and you walk into a brewery and they say, we have 10 beers on tap and 8 of them are IPAs, it's disheartening for folks like myself and Tony who say, can I just get a porter or a stout? No, we're going to cram an IPA down your throat and you're going to like it. Oh, actually, they're going to like it because we're forced to buy it. I don't want to buy an IPA. I want a porter or a stout. A dark ale, that ain't bad either.
Black Dog Brewing is out of Indiana. I didn't know that when we found the beer Mooresville, Indiana. Actually, the home, if I have it correct, of Dillinger. Of John H. Dillinger. And I think that's why they call it the Public Enemy number one. The Dillinger Brown Ale is what they call it. And it is gorgeous. Look, it is actually darker than I thought it would be. That is a black beer, young man.
That looks like if you were to put that down and just look at that glass, you'd say that's a porter.
Right. You would look at that and say it's a Guinness.
Yeah.
It looks full stout, but there's definitely differences between brown ales and stouts, even though a brown ale would usually be lighter in color. Not this from the people at Black Dog Brewing. Why am I still talking, Fingers Malloy? Fingers Malloy, do we have to do the nose? Do we have to do the nose?
On the nose, Tony, I get beer.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, let me see if I concur. Actually, it's very, very nice. There's a good bit of sweet coming off that nose for sure.
Beer isn't nice on the nose?
Well, if it's an IPA, no. If it's an IPA, it's just human garbage.
One more thing on the IPA before we do the review.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm really tired of getting on an airplane, and the only beer they have available outside of a Bud Light and a Heineken is an IPA. On the flight there, on the flight back, sir, would you like a Bud Light, Heineken, or some IPA that will make you want to grab this nice little bag that's in your seat in front of you to use? And it's like, no, I don't want any of this. Give me Buffalo Trace.
By any chance, have you also recently yelled, get off my lawn?
No, but I almost yelled, get off my plane, which would have actually meant me getting off the plane. They would have escorted me off the plane.
It's enough talking. Fingers Malloy, are you ready for this? He's already drinking. He has no time to answer, but I'm pretty sure he's been ready for this all day. My God, he went to town. That is not just a sip, kitten. What the hell?
Oh, I needed that.
I mean, we've got them in pint glasses, right? And
there's that maltiness that you would expect. There's a bit of nuttiness. It looks like a porter. It looks like a stout, but it's a lot lighter because it's an ale. Honestly, if you let me, I would have just downed that whole pint and really enjoyed myself.
You did not mess around right there. You went in.
Oh, it's good.
Full force from Black Dog Brewing out of Mooresville, Indiana. BlackDogBrewingCompany.com. They have a series of beers, and yes, they do lagers and pilsners. Do a blonde. They do a couple of IPAs, and now we've got this. Oh, Public Enemy number one.
Can I ask you?
The brown ale.
You've got their beers in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Is there a stout?
The That's So Metal Coffee Stout.
Thank you.
This also comes in at 6.5% alcohol by volume. I'm going in, Fingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's going in. He's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish.
And he took a sip, is what he
did. I
did
the Black Dog Bite right there.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, that is really good.
Yeah.
That is really good. All right. So that is, first, it's closer to porter for me. Like, that is heavier than I was expecting in a brown ale.
Oh.
But that classic little bit of bitter finish, I happen to love that. I think that's wonderful. It is also a touch dry. There's a good bit of nut, but that malty chew, which is what it's what I want in a beer. That's delicious, fingers.
Okay,
that is delectable.
To be fair,
the maltiness and the sweetness of this with that bit of spice and that woodiness coming from the Brickhouse Maduro, nice pairing.
Yeah, it is a very nice pairing. I'm used to drinking porters and stouts, so when I'm drinking this, I'm thinking, oh, this is lighter. But you're right. If you were going to compare it to all beer in general, it is a little bit of a thicker, heavier beer than say a typical IPA.
Stop with the IPAs. Wait, do you have one more thing to say about IPAs?
Can I get a decent beer on a plane? Do I have to go to bourbon right away?
From Black Dog Brewing, we are doing the Public Enemy number one, the brown ale, which comes in at about $11.50 a four pack. It's not Natty Light price, but that's a fine price for a four pack. For someone like me who's not drinking all the time, who's just going to sip his way through it, nice, nice beer. Oh, that's a nice brown ale right there from Black Dog Brewing Company, the Public Enemy number one.
Now, they make it here in Indiana. I hope it's available nationwide because it's definitely something you should try out.
If not, just drive on over.
Yes.
You can stay at Fingers Place.
Sure.
It's got a pull-out couch.
Got a tent.
Right. Opening day, Fingers Malloy. It's the crack of the bat, the smell of the grass, and of course, when it comes to baseball, how many empty glasses of beer can you stack on a drunk guy's head?
14.
That's the correct answer. Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is Fingers Malloy. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. And what the ballparks have done is said, we've got people here. We might as well feed them, and not just feed them Cracker Jacks, not just feed them some lame old hot dog, but we're talking about a $32 hot dog, something that's got like a hot dog on top of a hot dog with extra relish and, of course, plenty of ketchup.
You're the worst person ever.
Plenty of ketchup.
Worst person ever.
So there's a lot going on. They've gone absolutely out of their minds with food. Crazy, crazy stuff. They've got, where the Seattle Mariners play, that's T-Mobile Park, I believe. They have a katsu curry rice, which you can wash down with a yuzu ginger ale. This, according to ABC News. Or you can get a fresh Dungeness crab pizza topped with warm butter, dill, thyme, parmesan, and lemon. Tell me crab pizza isn't exactly what you think of when you think of Detroit Tigers baseball.
This whole conversation just saddens me because I feel like, you know, baseball has struggled at times in the ratings and with attendance. And I feel like they're doing what they can to try to draw people to the ballpark. And I see some of these things and it's like a crab pizza. That's what people are going to the ballpark and saying, you know what? It's a nice spring day. It's the first time I'm at the ballpark, maybe in years. Get me the crab pizza. What's going on, Tony?
Guaranteed Rate Field, which is the home of the Chicago White Sox.
What?
Home of the Chicago Guaranteed Rate Field. The names do
just
a sting.
Just roll off the tongue.
They've got the Southside Smash Steak Burger. They've got what they call the Foul Ball, F-O-W-L, which is a turkey bacon club. And they've got their own Reuben called Settling a Beef, which admittedly comes on the pumpernickel. Look at that photo. It's like 9 pounds of meat, cheese. They got the coleslaw and only costs $384.
Yeah, there it is. But look what you could chase it with. Wait, scroll down a little bit further.
Oh, crap. Look at that. The campfire chocolate milkshake, topped with a graham cracker and toasted marshmallow, served in a souvenir sundae cup. Now I know why it's guaranteed rate Fields, because you're going to need a second mortgage. Ba-dum-tsh. I'm here for you, people.
That looks like, you remember back in the day when they made a big deal at 7-Eleven when they came out with a thing called the Big Gulp?
Oh, yeah. Oh, who doesn't love a good Big Gulp?
That looks like the Big Gulp of milkshakes. That has to be 40 ounces.
3,000 calories?
Serves eight, serves one.
That's what I thought. Camden Yards, that's where the Baltimore Orioles play. They've got the warehouse dog. It is a foot-long all-beef hot dog topped with horseradish-infused brick sauce, crispy onions, and pit beef queso fundido served on a pretzel bun.
A little bit of advice for you. Just order it, walk right to the bathroom, and throw it in the toilet. Completely avoid the middleman altogether. There's no way you're making it through nine innings after eating that.
Also, pit beef queso fundido. That was your band name in college, right?
So true. We opened up for Los Lobos.
While Baltimore is brought up, we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss what was going on with this cargo ship, the Dali, hitting the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which spans over something called the Patapsco River. This is the entrance into the port of Baltimore. And this ship, which was known to have electrical issues more than six months ago in Chile, it was docked in San Diego, not San Diego. I just lost the town. And it was known to have some propulsion issues and then electrical issues while it was in Baltimore. I have no idea why it was taken out. I have no idea how this happened, that it could end up hitting the support pier for this bridge, taking the bridge down. Six people, eight people dead. I mean, that number is going to change a little bit. They ended the rescue mission quickly and went into a kind of a recovery, try to find bodies. This story has been dominating because it's all the, wait a second, how in the world does this happen? What actually happened with the boat? There's video that shows the lights going on and then off. We are going to get into the economic conversation here. This port, Fingers Malloy, is major. And one of the places it's major is the automotive industry. Cars made in the Midwest make their way to Baltimore to be shipped around the globe, Fingers.
Yeah, you're already seeing domestic automakers saying they're already going to have to come up with a plan B, because who knows how long this is going to affect shipments out of that port. It's going to have a huge economic impact, not just in Baltimore, but really around the country,
around the world, the globe.
Yeah.
Because right now, as we're talking about it, and this is just a couple of days after it happened, the port is closed. Where this bridge is, it's the mouth of the port of Baltimore. There is no travel in and out. And a lot of people have asked, why is that? It's one bridge. The boat still can float. Are we going to first discuss how big these boats are? And then we're going to talk about how deep into the water they are. You have a bridge that is now a hunk of massive. The bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, is 1.6 miles long in total. It was, when it was built in 1977, the second largest span bridge in the country, the third largest in the world. And where it collapsed is now this mass of twisted, sharp metal. Boats aren't getting through.
Right.
And look, we need to remove this stuff quickly. But a week of downtime at this port, that's serious, serious economic hit.
It is. And, you know, we all, you know, we woke up that morning to see the news and to see the footage of that bridge collapsing. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people thought to themselves, my goodness, what would it have been like if that happened at 9 a.m. at rush hour? The loss of life. It's just, it's such a tragedy, and it's going to take a long time economically for things to get back to normal in that area.
And for all of us. So I brought up the idea of a week. My fear is we're not talking about in a week starting to clear things out. If they take a month to clear things out, a month, a full 30 days, people are going out of business. I am absolutely concerned about what this means, certainly the world over, but the nation over. Small business, everything else, not being able to get goods, not being able to ship stuff out, so therefore not getting paid on the goods. The loss of life is real. The horror of this thing is real. And there are a million questions, and they should be asked, and they need to get answered. But there's an economic reality here. This is not going to work out well for everybody. And the ramifications might be felt for years.
It's 2024. You should expect that there are cameras everywhere watching you at all times. But is it fair for a dad to put cameras in his home to spy on his own daughter? Yeah, maybe. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy. He's Tony Katz. Find everything we do over at our website, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Tony, I went to yourtango.com.
Yourtango.com?
Yes, and it has an interesting story. And whether this is true or not, you always have to take some of this with a grain of salt because it originated on Reddit. But it does pose an interesting question as to whether it's okay to spy on your children. So I will try to summarize the story because it's a long tale. But essentially, a 24-year-old woman, she's 24, moved back in with her parents. And the parents went off on vacation. They said, hey, just do us a favor. Don't have anybody over. She proceeds to have a party.
A classic tale.
Yes. And so they come home.
I believe, if I understand it right, that's the original story for Porky's. I stole your line. I stole it as well as I could. Thank you.
Well done. I'm here for it. Because that was the next sentence out of my face. And you beat me to it. So she has this party. And of course, the parents are upset. And she said, listen, sorry. You know, some things got damaged. At least she admitted that she had the party and said, right. You know, I apologize. They said, okay. So they went on another trip. The dad sets up a camera in the house to see what's right. going on while they're gone.
Because their daughter is untrustworthy and terrible.
She doesn't have a party. But she has a fellow over. And the stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The stuff that was on camera is the kind of stuff that a dad doesn't want to see his daughter involved in.
Oh, no.
So my question to you, Mr. Katz, is it okay for a dad, a mother, a parent to put a hidden camera in their home to spy on their children?
Okay. What if I start by changing the parameters of that? Is it okay to have cameras in the house to keep an eye on the children?
I think that's a fair question. And I think it's also fair to say, yeah, I have these cameras in place in the house. It's okay if you let them know.
So therefore, they always believe that in their own home, somebody is watching them at all times. And they're always being judged for every action. They never have a moment of peace to themselves, a moment where they're just going to fart and scratch their butt, pick their nose, do something, just be disgusting eating that bowl of potato chips because somebody's watching them.
I think it's okay to say I have cameras on every entrance to the house. Do I have to have a camera pointed in the middle of the living room? No.
My point to you is that the camera world is one of danger. The act of observing an event changes the event. Observation changes how people act and how they behave, and it increases stress. The whole concept of, for example, and we're getting a little over our skis here, but I'll bring it back, the Chinese credit score. They watch everything you do in China. They watch every action. And based on whether you're smiling, whether you threw out that piece of trash, you did this, you did that, you have a score. And that score can determine whether or not you get to travel out of your city. It gets to determine everything. You are constantly being watched. The surveillance state is bad for the soul. It is bad for the mind. And it creates distrust. It's ugly, dangerous stuff. You can have a camera keeping an eye on your kids that they don't know about. You're more than welcome to do it. My question is, why is this a story? Who made this public? Why did they make this public? And does dad know, if dad made the story public, that dad is the biggest jerk who ever lived?
Well, according to this, dad made it public asking the internet, which is where I go for all of my advice.
Asking Reddit. That's right. That's right.
If I did anything wrong,
you didn't ask yourself that question before. You didn't ask yourself that question. I'm going to put up this video camera in my daughter's bedroom or in the living room. And then I never asked myself, what is it that I might see? Do I actually want to see that? That didn't cross your mind? Oh, no, not my daughter. Have you never watched any movie ever?
Like Porky's?
That's a callback, ladies and gentlemen. That's called a callback. I think it's weird. I think it's a weird thing to do.
Listen,
the daughter proved herself untrustworthy.
Yeah. I would never do this in a million years, but I do have, and it has nothing to do with monitoring my kids' behavior going in and out of the house. I have cameras at every entrance. Now, if you go so far as to try to sneak someone through the window, then you really prove to be untrustworthy. But I see no problem with putting cameras at every entrance, because you could say it's also for security, not just for your, you know, and your daughter's, for your daughter's sake, but also just the family in general having cameras there all the time. But to have this, it's creepy that you would put this in your home to monitor your daughter's behavior.
So, yes. And the doors would have told you who's there. You would have known what was going on. I think it's a bigger issue. I think it's a bigger issue on not only the conversation about trust, but the conversation about what we're actually doing. We're not being safer. It's like, do you have find your phone on your kids' phones?
No.
I don't. Now, that you could argue, hey, this is just knowing where my kid is in case there's an issue, a problem, something like that. I can go get my kid. It's the technology is there. Use it. For me, I feel the same way. I feel the same exact way. However, if you don't text me where you are at certain times, life's going to get very rough for you. Very, very rough. I have an issue with the surveillance.
Well, here's the other thing too. That's kind of, let's take this a step further. A lot of these cameras are connected to Wi-Fi. So how horrible would you feel if you're in the dad situation and that footage somehow got out of your network? If someone had hacked into, you know, whatever camera system you have, and there's your precious daughter on film. The whole thing is ugly.
And so this father thought of nothing. Nothing. He's not father of the year.
No.
He is not. By the way, this wasn't you on Reddit, was it?
No, it was not.
Me either. Thank goodness. Drinking this Black Dog Brewing Company, what they call public enemy number one, the Dillinger Brown Ale. It's excellent, Fingers.
I would have some more, but mine's gone.
Yeah. And we can get you another one.
Yay.
We have the technology. And smoking along with it from J.C. Newman, the Brick House Maduro Toro, the 6x52, $7.50, $8, depending on where you are. An absolutely easy, wonderful smoke. It's going to work everywhere for you. Absolutely, positively everywhere. It was a great trip to Vegas. We have a lot of video out there. If you follow us on Instagram, Eat, Drink, Smoke podcast, you'll see the videos. Our YouTube channel, just look for Eat, Drink, Smoke. So many of the conversations, the new things, the cool things. Great, great trip and a lot of good cigars to review and tell you all about. Keep it here. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke.
Follow Eat, Drink, Smoke on social media, on Twitter, at Go Eat, Drink, Smoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/Eat, Drink, Smoke, and Instagram, at Eat, Drink, Smoke Podcast.